Welcome to Black Talk Radio News for March 24th, 2016. My name is Scotty Reed. Lately, I have been thinking about counter-racism and developing new concepts of resistance or codification related to the age-old question among the masses of black people on the North American continent on what to do about proxy races, more commonly referred to as Uncle Tom's sellouts or Sambos. The question about how to handle so-called Uncle Tom Sambos or House Negroes came up last year in the form of an opinion piece titled Why Hunting Uncle Toms Won't End Racism, which was published in May of 2015 on the website AtlantaBlackStar.com. Most of the serious conversations that I have read or been a part of around this question does not involve hunting anyone down, as in forming lynching parties and hanging and mutilating the bodies of black people. The conversation is not really about ending racism per se, but how to address symptoms of the racist system bringing harm to black and other non-white people. We have to bring non-black, non-white groups into the mix because the question of dealing with sellouts is not one specific to black people only. If we throw out racial classifications, we could use the example of union workers who cross the picket lines and are said to be selling out, in a sense, by not showing solidarity with the masses of the workers on strike for better wages or better working conditions. The preposition of the piece suggested that there is nothing black people, or any people for that matter, with common interests can do to counter the activities of those within their group who are alleged to be collaborating with those in opposition to the group. As we delve further into this topic, it is also important to define words and not assume everyone has the same working definitions or even on the same page. Racism can be an individual act of a person who makes a conscious decision to engage in discriminatory behavior towards another person or group of persons who share physical characteristics like skin color or hair texture. There is no apparent course of action that anyone can take to stop individuals from harboring racial biases and acting on those biases in a multitude of ways, short of a mass deprogramming program to address individual acts of racism. If we are talking about institutional racism, let's say like a police department or a system like the federal, state or county governments that govern in such a way to promote and produce harmful outcomes on any targeted group of people. If we're talking collaborative acts of racism by people who work in government, then we must look at the institution that gave birth to racial codes and customs plaguing the current system, which is really the same old system of race-based slavery. Racism, or so-called white supremacy as a system, was legislated by colonial politicians to address the earliest slave rebellions in European slaveholding colonies. The response to African and non-African rebellions in the 1600s was to pit two enslaved groups of people against one another by implementing laws granting freedom and privileges to the previously non-African slaves in exchange for their help and the continued enslavement of Africans. In order to expand slavery or to make black colonists fearful to oppose the newly implemented race-based slavery, laws were implemented with the full backing of the courts and law enforcers to discriminate against non-enslaved black people by stripping them of previously held rights and privileges. The emancipated non-African slaves became the sellouts of their time period. Ending racism will take a massive effort by a massive number of people to end institutional slavery, the mother of racism. Now, getting back to the central question of black people dealing with sellouts, the answer is a simple one that has been presented before, but in a different context. You deal with sellouts the same way you deal with anyone practicing injustice in a culture of racism. If a white person is practicing racism against you in whatever form it may take, however you treat them is the same way you treat a black person acting as a tool of racism. In other words, treat them as if they are racist whites. If you want to boycott a white business corporation because it makes harmful products marketed to the black community, then boycott the black businesses that sell those products until they remove the products from their shelves. If you are boycotting white-owned financial services over predatory lending practices, boycott the financial service product owned by a black person that is also engaging in predatory lending practices. If you are calling for the criminal prosecution of a white cop who gunned down an unarmed black teenager, call for the prosecution of the black cop who gunned down an unarmed black teenager or conspired to cover up the shooting of a unarmed black teenager by the white cop. It is really a question that is not that difficult to answer and does not require much studying. Treat sellouts the same way you would treat those they work for or with. Hopefully, treating black proxies of racism just like you would treat a white racist will deter more black people from becoming agents of a racist system. Remember, nothing is 100% guaranteed, and outcomes may vary.
Our people are very serious about not being very serious.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Immigration court judges in North Carolina have issued temporary deportation stays for two teens who are Charlotte Mecklenburg students. Both were arrested and detained in January by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement for living in the United States without legal immigration status. Deportations of children increased dramatically during the Obama administration's last 7 years in office. The dramatic increase is over and well beyond the deportations of the previous Bush administration. During the Democratic debate between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton that was held in Florida, both candidates for CEO of USA Inc. made campaign promises to stop all deportations of children. The temporary stay means the teens will not face an immediate threat of deportation back to El Salvador, where they live under constant threat of recruitment or death from gangs who rose to power as a result of the federal government's failed drug war policies, which have been in effect for decades. Speaking of a decades-long drug war, a number of outlets over the past few days are publishing articles related to a new report by Dan Baum for Harper's Magazine that suggests the birth of the U.S. drug war is rooted in race-based slavery practices. Baum refers to a quote from John Ehrlichman, who served as domestic policy chief for President Richard Nixon when the administration declared its war on drugs in 1971. According to Baum, Ehrlichman said in 1994 that the drug war was a ploy to undermine Nixon's political opposition, meaning black people and critics of the Vietnam War. His drug war policies were passed with the help of a Democratic-controlled U.S. Congress and perpetuated by Republican and Democratic administrations that followed Nixon. While a lot of attention is rightly focused on the domestic outcomes of these policies, the policies are duplicated in U.S. foreign policy and have similar outcomes in those nations, hence why so many mothers are willing to send their unaccompanied children to the United States to escape drug war-related violence. Supporters of the two teams have been pressuring judges and officials to grant them asylum because to deport them is to issue them a death sentence or a life coerced into crime. Federal officials for the Obama administration are likening the stay to a legal pause during which judges may decide to reconsider evidence for political and humanitarian asylum. The two students are part of a group of 6 teens that have been living in North Carolina and often referred to as the NC6. Advocates adamantly argue that the teens will be killed by gangs if returned to El Salvador because U.S. drug policy of prohibition has created the conditions that gave rise to violent criminal drug gangs engaged in drug trafficking and also the forced prostitution of children. Advocates say the United States should give sanctuary to those children from those countries that have been destabilized by U.S. foreign drug war policies. These young men didn't deserve to be targets for deportation and are prime examples of why our complex immigration system needs to be fixed. They came to this country as minors fleeing unspeakable violence in Central America, said U.S. Representative Alma Adams in a statement.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
In the wake of Hillary Clinton's prematurely called victory in the Arizona primary, over 40,000 people have signed a petition on the White House petition site calling for an investigation into allegations of voter suppression and fraud in the state of Arizona. Voter suppression and fraud were highly reported in areas with sizable urban populations of Latinos. Democratic State Senator Martin Quezada told AZCentral.com that the lack of available polling locations for the Latino community was problematic. In my district, there is only one polling place, Senator Quezada said. In my neighboring district, LD30, there are no polling places. Other reported issues had to do with changing voters' party affiliations. Arizona is a closed primary, and large numbers of registered Democrats were mysteriously switched from Democrats to independents or Republicans. Those voters who stood in lines up to 4 hours were given provisional ballots that they were told would not be counted in the Democratic primary. Over 118,000 people have signed a petition calling on Massachusetts Attorney General Mara Healey to investigate Bill Clinton for breaking election laws that forbid campaigning inside a polling place and campaigning within 150 feet of a polling place. Video of the former President Clinton has been posted to the internet and presented as evidence. These issues within the Democratic Party's nomination process across the nation are bolstering calls for the DNC chairman, Florida Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a former Clinton 2008 campaign staffer, to resign. The Sanders campaign did pick up victories in Idaho and Utah, winning both states with over 50% margins. Voting in the Democratic primaries will continue in several more states on March the 26th.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News and our last story of the day. Texas Senator Ted Cruz, a Republican challenging business mogul Donald Trump for the GOP's nomination for president, is calling for law enforcement officials in the United States to clamp down on Muslim neighborhoods in an effort to stop them from becoming, quote, radicalized, unquote. The knee-jerk reaction by Ted Cruz is a common one heard from politicians on the right in the wake of such attacks like those that occurred in Brussels and attributed to the terrorist group ISIL. The preferred GOP establishment presidential candidate wasted no time taking to the media on Tuesday morning, calling for President Obama to immediately return from Cuba in order to deal with the crisis which occurred in Europe, as if the attacks occurred in the United States. This sort of petty political attack is meant to be red meat for the mindless masses who follow such people as Ted Cruz. In a statement posted to his official Facebook account, Cruz criticized European nations for allowing migrants into their country, saying, "Our European allies are now seeing what comes of a toxic mix of migrants who have been infiltrated by terrorists in isolated, radical Muslim neighborhoods. We will do what we can to help them fight this scourge and redouble our efforts to make sure it does not happen here," he added before stating, "We need to immediately halt the flow of refugees from countries with a significant Al-Qaeda or ISIS presence." Cruz then made his proposal to single out Muslim U.S. citizens and their communities for police oppression that is likely to have the effect of radicalizing individuals as opposed to preventing radicalization. We need to empower law enforcement to patrol and secure Muslim neighborhoods before they become radicalized, he wrote on Facebook. The New York Police Department was sued in 2013 over a massive spying program it ran against Muslim American communities in several states. In January 2016, a settlement was announced after the NYPD agreed to reforms barring investigations on the basis of race, religion, or ethnicity. Despite the practices being found to have violated the rights of U.S. citizens, American Muslims, Ted Cruz praised the department's former program and called for its reinstatement and wants to duplicate it nationwide. More recently, NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton spoke out against Ted Cruz's statements by saying, "I take great offense at his characterization of that whole population. He's really out of line." Democratic candidate for President Bernie Sanders said boosting national security and protecting civil rights must go hand in hand. He said he strongly disagrees with calls for heightened domestic surveillance of Muslims. "That would be unconstitutional. It would be wrong," Sanders said. This has been Scotty Reed for Black Talk Radio News. Join me and other independent media producers at blacktalkradionetwork.com.